Welcome to our Franchise Accelerator podcast. This is a very important topic because we're in the first quarter of 2024. So we thought that it would be a good time to kind of do a tax update, current events, let you know where things are, make sure that you're thinking about some of the changes that are coming up on the horizon. So a good place to start, because if you've, you know, got on your phone, if you've listened to the news in the last couple of weeks, I'm sure you've heard about this tax bill that's coming, that it's going to change the child tax credit. There could be more money in your pockets. As a realist, and I would say, and I don't know, right? None of us know. I could be completely wrong. Well, we are going to the
subject matter expert, right. and it is...
And I do listen to a lot of CB credits while I'm doing my work. But I would say, if I were a betting person, I would say it doesn't pass. And here's why. The timing just doesn't make sense, right? So it's like someone coming in the back of your restaurant and looking at your kitchen. There's things your chef knows, right, timing-wise, that your customers don't. I would say the same thing here. The thing is that the software's already been written. It's actually, we're already using it. So for them to go back and make it retroactive for the 2023 tax year, it would be a huge upheaval for the tax filers, for the software companies, and potentially, I just don't see that how they could get it done. Now, could they do it for 24, which would make it something you see on next year's return? Okay. Sure. But I think for this year, and again, I could be wrong, I just don't see that they can get it passed, which is why I think they keep saying, oh, it passed the House. Well, you know, right. We all remember from elementary school, it still has to get through the other one.
There's a couple other doors that has to go through.
Step one, but you're about 3 months too late, right? And before the world of COVID and everything breaking in the government, it used to be like this got through in October, right? Then you still had November and maybe December, they get it done.
Tax planning still for 2024?
No. Like, you can't, how I would say, and again, I don't know for sure, but I just don't see how you could go back now, because the other part of this bill was that ERC was going to end in January. Well, we're now in February. So, again, I don't know that you could do that. Right. Maybe you can. And then the third one was you were going to change the depreciation rules, which means all of those corporate returns, which are due in March, would now be incorrect. And the IRS, of course, has assured everyone that their systems would figure it out. I don't know if they would.
I mean, you deal with the IRS a lot. And I'm not trying to.
I know.
They have maybe a tough job. Could. They have a hard job already.
I just don't see on the, maybe on the child tax credit side, sure, because you know and you have all that information. I just don't see on the corporate side that it would know how to change that number automatically. So, again, I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be betting that this tax bill makes it through, which just means that we really need to assess where we are, because I think the other side of that is if it doesn't make it through, that means that we're sitting in 24, which is on the decline of the bonus depreciation. Right. So 23, we were down to 80%, which again, if the tax bill doesn't change, the softwares are already assuming we're at 80% max of the bonus depreciation, which means if I bought equipment for $100,000 this year, I only can take 80,000 of the bonus, and then the rest goes into the 5-year bucket or 10-year bucket or 15-year bucket. So it brings us back into a world where things like cost segregation matter. Right. I really want to look at what happens to that remaining 20%. Again, doesn't matter for the 80%, but it does matter for the 20. Do I have to depreciate that over 5 years or 15 years? That now has real dollars behind it.
Right.
24, if this bill doesn't make it through, which again, I don't think it will. Now we're into 60%. So same $100,000 of equipment. Now the 60% I get right away, but now the other 40% goes into a 5-year bucket or a 15-year bucket or more, depending on the asset class. So all of a sudden, we're going to be back to a world where we need to really pay attention to those categories where the last few years, it didn't matter, right? Everything was bonusable. So, you know, yes, we want to put it in leasehold versus equipment, but we're going to take 100% either way. So it really doesn't make a difference. Now it's going to start to, if things don't change, 25, we go to 40, it flips. Whoa. And I think you've even seen with some of the real estate people we were talking to, it's starting to impact decision making.
Absolutely. And I think that's where, I mean, not to, you know, Ann's not going to, you know, pat herself on the back, but right, we're already looking at tax strategies now for the entire year into next year. Yes, we are, you know, working on 2023 taxes, but there's a lot we're already pushing forward. And I think that's a, you know, tell it, use the 30-minute calls, because Anne's going to help you figure that out. That's what we're seeing a lot of people that we, you know, maybe were new to us this year, that they're not used to. It's January. Yeah. Let's look at 24 instead of just looking at 2023. So you're a year ahead.
Well, and I think you have to be. As a business owner, you have to be looking at the current year and what's changing, being aware. And I think there's so much out there that's just, you know, smoke and mirrors. Nobody knows. And really, there's a lot that's changing. And a big one is depreciation. If you're going to do a build out, if you're going to open a new location, you're now in 24. It might not open until 25. So now that 40% goes even further. Now, again, are they going to make a change? It's election year. Maybe. But we can't assume that they do. And that's where I think you're seeing, even on the development side, you're noticing fewer developments. Well, the bonus depreciation is a big deal. And if it does go away, it will start to impact, I think, real estate and some of these other categories.
Well, that 20%, when you multiply out, that is a big number. You know, that, right? If that company or that person doing the real estate, their investments, they're projecting out with those different numbers.
Yeah.
And at some point, like anything, the investment might not make sense.
Yes.
So what happens next when it doesn't make sense?
And
that's where the next part goes to, I think.
Right. And I think that's what we saw in real estate up until this year, up until the 80%, where you still had the bonus depreciation that maybe offset some of the higher interest rates or other things, because you could still get the cash back right away through real tax savings. When we go to 80%, which again is already gone, that was 23.
Right.
So now at best, we're sitting in 60%. Well, now all of a sudden, 60% with higher interest rates, it starts to say, you know, is this a cash flow positive investment or not? And I'm not sure that it is. So that's where looking at what does your tax picture look like for 24, assuming nothing changes, is a great strategy, right? Because then if it does, great. Like, hey, you know, I'm winning, right? But at least I've planned for, let's assume some of these things start to go away, and where am I sitting? Because the other part that is going to be here sooner rather than later is the qualified business deduction. So people don't realize that, you know, back in 2019, we had a comprehensive tax rule that came into effect. And what it really did was level the playing field between the corporate side, where you know historically you always heard stories like, well, GE pays no tax, like that was a big one in the late, you know, 2019-18. That was like, oh my god. And I remember, you know, we were living in Boston at the time. That was a huge deal because, you know, GE, I mean, how could they pay zero tax? Well, they do it because they have foreign investments, they get tax credits for that, and the corporate tax rate was very low. Well, the argument was most of your small business owners are not a C-Corp, right? They're what we call pass-through, which is probably most people listening have some pass-through activity, which basically means, you know, it flows through to my individual return. So my corporation, even, you know, my S-Corp, my partnership, it doesn't really pay tax. The taxes are all paid on the individual level. So if I have other income or I'm sitting in a higher tax bracket, well, now I'm paying, you know, 36-37%, where the corporate guy isn't. He's paying 21%. So what happened is this qualified business deduction, which most people don't even see it on their return. It's kind of, the way they calculate it is very convoluted. But basically what it does is give you an extra deduction to bring your effective rate down to a flat 25%. Now there's some income maxing out, and you know, there's a few above 300,000, whatever, it does go up slightly, but even the highest of earners have a benefit in this qualified business deduction. And it's real dollars when I see, you know, $50,000, $60,000 of a reduction of tax to get you to that 25% rate. In 2025, at the end of 25, it goes away. So that's a real tax change that if nothing is done, and again, if this year's tax bill is any indication of my faith that someone's going to read the code before 2025... it's real dollars that will all of a sudden change your corporate tax, your individual tax, and what you pay in taxes every year. So we want to, this year, because we're already in 24, even though we're doing 23's taxes, at least be aware of that line, right? What do I save by having qualified business deduction right now? There's really nothing you have to do to get it.
Yeah.
You know, although it is good to check, because we have seen returns that didn't include it, even though they should. But, you know, we don't have to do anything now, but being aware of, hey, you know, every year my tax is reduced by 20 grand. So I need to be aware of that for when it goes away. And are there other strategies to bring into play? A big one to me is to, revisit the corporation, right? The C Corp. Most accountants hate the C Corp, but they're not looking at the qualified business deduction, right. I don't think, or at least aware of some of the benefits of a C Corp. Yes, you have potential for double taxation, but it's double taxation at a flat 21% rate, which if you're sitting in, you know, 37, 38%, there could be a strategy there. So I think at least having those discussions this year sets you up for, hey, you know what? If I see the writing on the wall, this really probably isn't going to change. You know, we hear taxes are going to go up in the future. Then, you know what? I'm going to start to really look at a C Corp. Maybe I have one C Corp and one pass through if I'm a multi-unit. At least then I've covered by bases and I'm protecting some of my income. So again, not saying this works for everyone, but it's definitely something where you, the business owner, have to start educating yourself on tax. It's a real thing, right? Gone are the years of COVID where everyone has a loss, you know, and all of those things. But, you know, taxes are real and we need to pay attention to them. And we don't just want to pay attention to them once a year. It's something that we want to look at throughout the year. I recommend quarterly to just say, where am I this year? Do I have taxable income? What are some of the things, the strategies I could have to lower my taxable income, or at least, you know, reinvest and get some benefit on the tax side for things that I might be doing anyway. So as we get into that, you know, the other part of that is remembering that there are some other tax credits. Right. So we talked about on the real estate side, you know, one thing we recommend, because again, you have, you know, at any point in time, IRS rules are you can always look back 3 years. So we're really getting to the point where the window on 2020 is closing, right? So April of this year, unless you were on extension, that window is starting to close. So what we want to do is at least look at the last 3 years of the returns, see, did I maximize depreciation that I took? Were there other credits? We, you know, cost segregation we talk about on the real estate side, research and development credit, if I have technology improvements. But what did I take advantage of? What didn't I take advantage of? And just to make sure that we're all in alignment, because it was a crazy few years. The IRS was basically broken for like two of them. So you might just be getting weird notices. I mean, we're seeing everything, but that's okay. This is the time. And the IRS has even said that until April of this year, you know, they recommend make sure that all of your returns were received by the IRS. They know they had issues. We've seen that, you know, so just double check that if for some reason something's missing, you can send it in. They've paused a lot of the interest and penalties until April, because they know, right? They know some of this was on them. I mean, they all of a sudden had to work from home. They've never worked from home. Right. So their mail was broken. But, you know, the other side of that is, okay, what was the strategy I had in the last 3 years? What do I want to do going forward? And then, you know, part of that look back is also the ERC, the Employee Retention Tax Credit, which is sitting out there in our tax bill that will never pass, is also the resolution of ERTC. So if you haven't heard anything, you're not alone. There's not a lot of information. It should be ending for the 2020 year by April. They still have their moratorium. We're sitting here in February, and they said it would go till the end of 23. So we really don't know. But I think what we want to do is just kind of make sure everything that you file has been received. You know, if you haven't heard anything back, go ahead, resubmit it. Right. You know, there's a letter that you can put with it just saying very clearly, this is a resubmission. I'm not submitting again, but I just want to make sure you have it, because as of now, they haven't ended it. So all the rumor, that's not true, that all that is sitting in that tax bill that has not passed, but it will end in April for 2020. Right. So we just want to make sure that everything is in. And then ultimately, if you did receive it, you do need to amend your tax returns for the ERTC. So, you know, there's a lot there. Talk to your CPA. But I think just an awareness of, here's where we are, here's what I've done, and let's make sure that I'm in a good place moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm covering the operations side. I'm on a lot of calls with you, right, when we do our clients. I think the biggest thing is when Ann's working on the client, it's really building a strategy for each person. And I know it's easy to say, right? It seems cliche, but I think a lot of times they're trying to put you into one of their strategies. Yeah. You fall into this bucket based on, and I think within it's completely, let's blow it up. Whatever you've done in the past, we're not saying it's wrong.
Yeah.
Let's just look at all the scenarios and then see which one makes sense.
Yes.
Instead of trying to come in with this pre-notion of this is how you should file, this should be your plan.
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest thing is all these other things are out there, different credits or different ways of looking at it. It's not the one's better than the other. It's what fits into your business and us not trying to put you in before we know what you have going on.
Well, exactly. And to me, it's not even just like, you know, our methodology. No. My methodology. It's really the methodology of our business model being involved every week. Because if we're involved every week,
right,
we're able to have those discussions, right? I mean, how many times does someone on our team just come in and be like, oh, they bought an equipment. Like, what should we do? Oh, right. Let me look quickly, right? You can't have those conversations if our eyes aren't on it until March. And right. We have clients where, you know, we just do the returns and it's not the same because no. We don't know and we can't go back and recreate an entire year before we do your return, right? We just have to assume, okay, like it's in there. I'm going to, of course, ask you questions, but it's not the same as being actively involved throughout the year, right. Having budgets, having plans, because there's so much that your numbers don't tell us, right? Like, sure. You might have high labor, but do you have high labor because you hired somebody to implement this new technology? Well, there could be tax savings there,
right?
Right? Or do you just have high labor because